Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Hey, yeah. We're on fly. Yeah. We're on fly. Yeah.
Yeah. Horizon. Time for the light has come. The glory of God has risen up on his sons and his daughters. The darkness is uncovered. Pull sheets up of our lovers. We're perverted till we burn. So now it's time to return back to Yah, our city of refuge. The fountains of living waters. The showers we with righteousness restores my order and turns the song to a king. A song for my soul to sing that brought me down very low. My garments white like the wings. Shaddaiah, praise be the Most High that brought me out. Of insanity, crushed the towers of vanity, you made a man of me. I'm now asking for a key, no longer my refugee. I'm now y'all's planet.
We don't fly to fear, yeah. We don't march to fear, yeah. We don't dance, we don't sleep, we don't run to fear, run to fear. We don't fly to fear, yeah. We don't march to fear, yeah.
A thousand meters rough, measure waters came to your ankle. The method did repeat, waters came right to your knee. Before you further joke, groins, waters came to your loins. A thousand measures and the last, a river you could not pass. Everything that touched the waters was healed. Plenty of your fish left to swim. There was meat from the trees, nourished the bodies from leaves. The vision I seen was more than a dream. Waters flow on sides of sanctuary. My heart had joy and merit. I'm renovating my soul until we make it home. Foolish sins forever gone, your spirit resting on my bones. Brothers and sisters, you with me. Let's hurt that stuff really quickly. Make out those policies 50 so we come.
We don't fly to fear, yeah. We don't march to fear, yeah. We don't dance, we don't sleep, we don't run to fear, run to fear. We don't fly to fear, yeah. We don't march to fear, yeah. We don't dance.
For blessing me with understanding of what you talking about. My sins are too many. I thought another God could save. To you will woke me from my slumber, pull me right from my grave. And now that I'm saved, I'm blessed to know and understand truth. That no blessing, no curse is coming. Least is coming through you. I sing praises to my God, to my very last breath. And use your laws as a ladder if I ever misstep. Let's praise the Most High, Yah, pay his holy name regard. We have come a long way, yet we got so far. Before we right before our king, all of this ain't seen. So we the sons of righteousness with healings up in our wings.
We gone. We don't march to the fear, yeah. We don't dance, we don't sleep, we don't run to the fear, run to the. We don't fly to the fear, yeah. We don't march to the fear, yeah. We don't dance, we don't sleep.
I wanna go home. Wicked, I won't get down. Wicked, I won't get down. Now I wanna go. I wanna go home. Wicked, I won't get down. Wicked, I won't get down. Now I wanna go. I wanna go home. Wicked, I won't get down. Wicked, I won't get down. Now I wanna go. I wanna go. Yeah, I wanna go home.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you once again. Another week, another day, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. So this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our King, He's our Judge, He's our Lawgiver, and Yah is our only Savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the Savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah for giving us once again this great, beautiful, awesome opportunity to bring to you His great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. We are back from our conference held in Jackson, Mississippi. And you've seen the brothers, the other teachers, come forth with their message that was talked about, that was presented in our meetings, as well before the great congregation of Yahweh. And we seen eye to eye. And we talked about and discussed all the things that we needed to discuss. And now we bring it to you. Many people had difficulty in hearing us because of the sound system. But that's okay. All that means is we have to do it twice and bring the message before you once again. And why? Because this message is very vital to your salvation. The questions that we address at this year's Restoration of the Sacred Laws Conference of the Most High is, what impact will Yehuda have on world events? Since the scriptures talk about and let us know that Yehuda shall be saved first. And since they're going to be saved first, how would that impact the world? Surely there's got to be some type of purpose, meaning behind them being saved first. And the other question that we address is, what will be the economic impact of Yehuda's in the house of Israel deliverance? How would that affect the world economically? And one of the things that I would like to deal with specifically is the impact that Yehuda will have since they will be saved first. And I'll be quite frank and honest with you. This is not a new message at all, and it's a message that I began teaching around 2015. when I began reaching out to the various leaders of the Israelite community, and I began traveling from place to place, city to city, attempting to let them know the urgency of Yah's return. Now, it's up to Yah whether he returns, when he returns. But the Creator let me know that I, in my message that he wanted me to bring to the people, the message that he wanted me to bring to the people was a message of urgency. So since Yehuda will be saved first, how would that impact the world? Well, first of all, let's see with our own eyes Yehuda being saved first. Let's see if the scriptures actually says that. And you'll see and read in the book of Zechariah, the 12th chapter. Let us turn there. The scriptures teach us wisdom is the principal thing. But with all thy getting, get understanding. And the Creator wants us to understand a lot of things. Another thing I want to be frank and honest about is that many will receive my message only because they fear Yah and tremble at his word. But there will be many, and a mass majority of our people, who will not, does not tremble at the word of Yahweh, nor do they fear him when they hear his words. Even though Yahweh says, thou shall not take the name of Yah thy Elohim in vain. For Yah will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. But yet, this is something that, as a people, we will do. And I'm here to tell you that I come in the name of Yahweh. So this message that I'm bringing to you is not a message from my own heart, from my own mind. This message, I come in the name of Yahweh. And watch what this says in the book of Zechariah, 12th chapter. And again, what will be, or what is, Yehuda's impact on world affairs as a result of them being saved first? In the book of Zechariah, the 12th chapter, this is what it says. The 7th verse. Yahweh also shall say the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify, which means exalt, illuminate themselves against Yehuda. In that day shall Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as Elohim, as the angel of Yahweh before them. so we can see crystal clearly that Yahweh said when he come to redeem his people, Yehuda shall be saved first. But why? And how would that impact the world? Well, the reason why this will have a greater impact than saving anyone else, delivering anyone else, is because Yehuda is scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. So saving Yehuda, the house of David, will undoubtedly impact the world. Whereas if they save, Yahweh saved the house of Israel, the 10 tribes that were split from the house of Yehuda, if Yahweh saved them first, that's not going to impact the world, because they're not even scattered throughout the world. That will only impact Africa, where the 10 tribes was dispersed. I know our people think the 12 tribes is all over the world, and that is not the truth. Nor is that the word of Yahweh. We have many people today calling themselves all kind of different tribal ancestries without no proof, without no evidence, and without scriptures. We even have people teaching that the Mexicans is one tribe, the Hispanics is another tribe. In America, you Yehuda. And then in certain other places of the world, they certain tribes. And this is total confusion. Total confusion. There's not one scripture that support this teaching whatsoever. The Almighty, the 10 tribes was dispersed in ancient Assyria, which is modern day Africa today. And Yehuda was scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. And let me show you that. That's how we know their impact on world affairs will be evident, because they scattered to the four corners of the earth, north, south, east, and west. In the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter, let me show you this. This is what it says about the house of Israel, as well as the house of Yehuda. And we're talking about their impact on the world. In the book of Isaiah 11 chapter, this is what it says in the 12th verse. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel. Assemble them where? Gather them where? From where they was dispersed. Or outcasted. And where was that? Africa. And gather together the dispersed of Yehuda from the four corners of the earth. And this four corners mean the four edges, the four outer extremities of the earth. And was that north, south, east, and west, scattered all over. And this is where the Creator will call him from, these four corners. And once Yahweh do that, it surely will impact the world, because they are all over the world. But how will it impact the world? And let me show you how it will impact the world. Little do people know, as I stated before, I've been bringing this message for over 4 years now, at least 4 years. And it's the same message, but the message really, in truth, is not taking hold to the masses of the people. Many people are hearing it, but they're not taking hold. And it's only because still yet the people still don't fear Yahweh nor tremble at his word. And I'm about to show you today there's only two ways Yahweh will deal with the world as well as his people in his return. And yes, Yahweh is returning. One, the first way he will deal with his people is give them the opportunity to make clear choices of whether they're going to humble themselves or not. It's your choice. You have the opportunity to choose before he returns. And if you fear him and tremble at his word, you will make the right choice. But for the mass majority of the people, there's only one way you're going to listen to Yah and humble yourself. Yahweh is going to have to show you better than he can tell you. Some people need action. They need to be shown. They need stripes. And Yahweh has prepared stripes for those who refuse to humble themselves. And let me show you what Yahweh, he will do in his return. Because you can't talk about Yehuda being saved first without understanding how Yahweh will return to save Yehuda. And let me tell you, it's not going to be pretty. Yahweh is angry. And Yahweh is justified in his anger. And you're going to see what he has proposed to do to satisfy his anger. In the book of Isaiah, the second chapter, watch what the Creator lets us know. In the 11th verse, Isaiah 2 and 11, and this is what it says. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall bow down, and Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of Yahweh of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. This is what Yahweh said he would do. And I want to see why Yahweh is proposing to bring man down. Watch the 17th verse. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down. And the haughtiness of men shall be made low. And once again, Yahweh is repeating it so that you can understand. He is establishing it. And Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. Yahweh alone. And this is something that the people don't want to fear. First of all, they don't even believe Yahweh is returning. And second of all, even if they hope for his return, they still don't really understand what he's returning to do. Yes, he is returning to save, but he's also returning to destroy. And there's only one way that you, any inhabitant of the earth, can save himself, is making a clear choice of humility. In the book of Isaiah, the 13th chapter, watch what the Creator lets us know in the 11th verse. Since Yehuda shall be saved first, and since Yehuda is dispersed throughout the four corners of the earth, it says in the book of Isaiah, the 13th chapter, the 11th verse, and I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden witch of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, and the wrath of Yahweh of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. Again, Yahweh is returning, but he's returning with his anger. And look at one of the signs that Yahweh said will happen when he returns. Not only make a man more precious than the fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir, but watch what it says in the 14th verse. And it shall be as a chased roe, and as a sheep that no man takes up, they shall every man turn to his own people and flee every one into his own land. And everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. In other words, if you don't flee into your own people, if you don't turn every man to his own people and flee every man to his own land, then all you're going to get is total destruction. You will be thrust through because you have refused to listen to Yahweh, to tremble at his word. And many of our people do not fear Yahweh, and they do not tremble at his words. And that's who Yahweh is looking for. He's looking for a special, peculiar, elitist people. I thought elitist people, they was the most arrogant people, and they really are. But Yahweh is looking for another type of elitist people. And these elitist, chosen, elect people that Yahweh is looking for are those that are elite in humility. You got one that's elitist in arrogance, which is very bad. But then you got another that are elitist in humility, and that is very good. And Yahweh is looking for this special, peculiar type of people who fear him and not man, who fear him and refuse to be brought down by man. Watch what the Creator lets us know in the book of Isaiah 40. Again, the impact of Yehuda being saved first. In other words, the only way Yehuda will be saved is by Yahweh. And since they're going to be saved first, and since they're scattered all over the world, what do you think Yahweh will do when he returns? Well, the first thing he's going to do is bring everything low. And watch what it says in the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter. The very first verse says, comfort you, my people, says your Elohim. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. And this is true. For she has received from Yahweh's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness. And this is the voice. This is the voice that Yahweh wants you to hear. Prepare you the way of Yahweh. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim. And why? And what for? Every valley shall be exalted. In other words, a valley is something that is low, but it's going to be exalted. And every mountain hill, which is high, shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of Yahweh shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. Yahweh got to bring down low. Yahweh is going to even make the hills and the mountains bow to him. But not just the men, not just the people, the mountains, the hills, and everything else. Look what the Creator lets us know in the book of Isaiah, the 3rd chapter. Why else do you think Yahweh say, prepare the way before me? He's given you the opportunity to make crystal clear choices. There's only one choice to make, and that's the choice to humble yourself. But why don't we want to do it? Why is it so difficult to live and to save your own life? Do you care about your life? Well, if you care about your life, humble yourself. In the book of Isaiah, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse, watch what the Creator lets us know. Moreover, Yahweh says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, we just got finished talking about the men in the book of Isaiah 13, the men in Isaiah the 2nd chapter, and all the crooked things being made straight in Isaiah 40. But now Yahweh turned his attention unto his daughters. Because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stressful effects, wanting eyes, walking and missing as they go, making a tickling with their feet. Therefore, Yahweh will smite with the scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. And Yahweh will uncover their secret parts. In other words, there's no more secrets about a woman today. Her head is uncovered. Her skirt is high. Her dress is low. And now you can see every secret thing about her. And all these secret things are not things that bring about honor. These are things that bring about shame. And Yahweh warned her to be ashamed of herself. And why? Because she's haughty. Why? Because she's stiff-necked. Watch what it says. In that day, Yahweh will take away the beauty of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, their headbands, their round ornaments like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the veils, the bonnets and the ornaments of the leg, the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel, mantles and cloaks, and the purses, the glasses, the fine linen, the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. And instead of a girdle, a rope. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a rich robe, a grinding or a girding of sackcloth, burning instead of beauty. In other words, the things that bring her confidence. Oh, if you don't want to do what I say, if you don't like me, I just go to the next man. If you don't appreciate me, because I appreciate myself, and I'll dress up and look good for the next one. And there will be one that will love me the way that I want to be loved. And all you're going to do is find yourself going from man to man to man to man. Now, instead of beauty, all it will be is stink. Because Yahweh will bring you low. And still to this day, the people still don't see Yah. And Yahweh wants you to see him. The way you see Yah is through his word. And his word teach us that we must fear him and tremble at his word. And if you believe that Yah is going to return as he said he would, and he's going to save Yehuda first, and Yehuda is scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, and Yahweh said he was going to bring the world low because of their evil, because of their wickedness, then why would you not proceed in bringing yourself low? And today, Israel is exalting themselves, and they refuse to get low. Their walk is arrogant. Their talk is haughty. Their look is prideful and proud. And let me show you what Yahweh is actually doing as we speak. People don't see it, but watch what Yahweh said. It's a vision that he gave to the prophet. Nobody knows how this vision will manifest itself. They don't know if this vision will be manifested while you are in your sleep. They don't know whether this vision will be manifested as you study and reading and meditating Yahweh's word. But make no mistake about it. This thing that you're about to read will be manifested. Watch what it says in the book of Ezekiel, the 9th chapter. And this is what it says in the very first verse. And he cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them to have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. So it sounds like war. Sounds like some man coming to kill. But little do people know, this is not a man at all. You're going to quickly see these are angels. And what charge did Yahweh give them to do? Second verse. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lies toward the north. And every man with a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with the writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. So you had six that had weapons of destruction, a destroying weapon in their hand. We don't know if it was a sword. We don't know if it was a machete. We don't know if it was a Uzi. We just know this thing was a destroying weapon in his hand. And it was only one, clothed in linen, that had a writer's ink on it by his side. Let's see what they came to do. And the glory of the Elohim of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And Yahweh said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. Now, who are these people that being marked? Well, these are people who have nothing to do with the abominations. They're not participating in the foolish abominations of our people and of the world. These are people, when they see the abomination, they're shaking their heads like, my goodness. They're sighing, oh man. They're crying. When are our people going to learn? When are they going to heed? When are they going to hear? When are they going to stop? They're crying and sighing for the abominations. But then there's another set of people. The fifth verse. And to the others, he said in my hearing, go you after him through the city and smite, which means to kill. Let not your eyes spare, neither have you pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they begin at the ancient men which were before the house. In other words, they started right. See, they already know out in the streets there's a lot of people they got to kill. But they started right in the sanctuary where the people supposed to be right. Where people supposed to hear the message of love and peace and unity. Start there. The ones that are smart, leave them alone. Why? Because they fear me. Why? Because they tremble at my word. But the others, yeah, kill them. Whether they old or young. Why old? Because we got a lot of old fools that stir up a lot of mess. And I'm going to show you the mess. I'm going to show you the foolishness that Yahweh is coming to kill. But I also show you those who Yahweh is coming to mark. And why is this relevant? But Yahweh said he was going to save Yehuda first. And why is that important? Because Yehuda is scattered all over the world, the four corners of the earth. And you think Yahweh coming to save without his anger, without his vengeance, without his fierce anger. No, that's how he's coming. That's how he's returning. That's how he's coming to save. And will everybody be delivered? Will everybody be saved? And the answer is no. They will not. And why? Because everyone still are making clear choices not to do good, but rather to do evil. Watch this in the book of Proverbs, the 26th chapter. Here it is. Yahweh said, mark all those that cry and sigh for the abominations. But the others, since they're not crying, since they're not sighing, undoubtedly they are participating in the abomination. Is it that they're not being warned? Is it that they're not being told? Or is it that they just refuse to do the right thing? In the book of Proverbs, the 26th chapter, this is what it says. The 24th verse. Watch what it says. Proverbs 26, verse 24. He that hates disguises with his lips and lays up deceit within him. When he speaks graciously, believe him not. For there are seven abominations in his heart. Seven abominations. And you might ask yourself, what are these seven abominations? Well, Yahweh clearly lets us know what these abominations are. And why are they relevant? Because Yahweh said, mark all those who sigh and cry for the abomination. But all the other ones, smite and kill. So it's very necessary for you to know what these abominations are. Here it is, you fighting your people, brother against brother, sister against sister, husband against wife. Parents against children. But little do you know, your only fight, your only enemy is your own heart. For Yahweh said there are seven abominations in your heart. Yahweh has already let his people know that the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked, above all things. Who can know it? Yahweh has already let you know how wicked the heart is, but you don't believe it. Therefore, you will rather fight against other things rather than get your own heart right. And here it is. We're in the last days. where Yahweh said Yehuda will be saved first, at the end of times, and at the end, you still want to act like a fool. Well, let me show you what these abominations are. So you won't think that it's someone else other than yourself. In the book, of Proverbs, the 6th chapter, the 16th verse, this is what it says. These 16 does Yahweh hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination to him. And the very first thing he tells you is a proud look. That's number one. Because little do people know, everything comes through pride. Everything. All these other abominations contain pride. That's why this is number one. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaking lies, and he that sows discord among his brethren. And I see this and hear this every day as an Israelite. These 7 things, they bear out in our people every single day. And Yahweh is looking for a people that he can mark. People that he can save. People who are interested, have a strong desire to be elitist. Elitist in having a pure heart. Elitist in attempting to be perfect. Elitist in humility, that they might be able to walk with Yahweh. Before I show you how dangerous this pride is, watch what the scriptures let us know in the book of Ezekiel, the 14th chapter. Show you the type of elitist that Yahweh is looking for. We see the abominations. We see the 7 in a man's heart. In the book of Ezekiel 14, let me show you what Yahweh is looking for. In the book of Ezekiel 14, 21st verse. For thus says Yahweh, how much more when I send my 4 grievous judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, the noise from beasts, the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. And this is what Yahweh will do in any place, let alone Jerusalem, when he comes to destroy. And Yahweh is returning the earth to destroy. But watch what he says in the 22nd verse. Yet, behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you. And watch what it says. and you shall see their way and their doings. And you shall be comforted concerning the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I brought upon it. Because you're going to see that Yahweh is justified in his anger. No wonder Yahweh brought all this evil. When you actually see the ways and the doings of this remnant. And they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings. And why? Because you're actually going to see people that have a heart after Yahweh. See, the scriptures say, all through the scriptures, Yahweh said he is looking for a man after his own heart. And this is beautiful. Because Yahweh said his thoughts are not our thoughts. And his ways is not our ways. And as high as the heaven is above the earth, so high is his thoughts above our thoughts, and his ways above our ways. So he told us to forsake our thoughts and forsake our ways. And this is all we got to do. But little do people know, Yahweh never said we can't have a heart like him. We can't have a mind of Yahweh. We don't have thoughts like Yahweh. Nor is our ways like Yahweh. But our heart can be like Yahweh. And what type of heart do Yahweh have? A perfect heart. A pure heart. A heart of sincerity and truth. And that's the exact type of heart that Yahweh wants us to have, because that's the type of heart that he has. And this is why Yahweh is always looking for a man after his own heart. Someone that is sincere, someone that is about the truth, someone that is perfect. And all through the scriptures, you can read men where Yahweh said his heart is perfect with me. His heart was perfect towards me. And why? Because he was a man after Yah's own heart. And here it is, the opposite of a man after Yah's own heart is a man that has seven abominations in his heart. And even if you don't have all seven, all you need is one abomination in your heart, and you're not going to walk with Yahweh. Watch what it says in the book of Micah, 6th chapter, Micah 6. Because this is what Yahweh wants you to know. Yahweh made it crystal clear he is returning, and he will save Yehuda first. And how do you think that's going to impact the world? Well, he said he's going to bring the world low. He's going to bring every hill down, every mountain down, every woman down, every man down. The only ones he's not bringing down is the ones that have already chosen to be low. So in the book of Micah, the sixth chapter, the sixth verse, this is what it says. With what shall I come before Yahweh and bow myself before the high Elohim? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? Since Christians believe that, and since they tell the world that's what Yahweh did, gave his firstborn for our sins, is that what Yahweh is looking for? And watch the 8th verse. He have shown you, O man, what is good, and what does Yahweh require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your Elohim. That's what Yahweh is looking for. He's looking for a special, elite, peculiar people who actually fear him and tremble at his word, that actually believe what he said he would do. And as a result of believing it, they are walking humbly before him day in and night out. Because Yahweh can return at any time. And since now you see what these abominations are, since you see what Yahweh hate, and since you see that Yahweh, when he's returned, he's returning to save Yehuda first, which means everything has to be brought down low. Let's show you why. Yahweh is bringing down things so low. So you can see what the heart is really made of. Watch this in the book of Proverbs, the 13th chapter. And yes, it is the truth. Even though I come in the name of Yahweh, you're still not going to listen. You still are not going to hear it. But you know it. For some, they have to see action. And for a very small few, which the scriptures call a remnant, all they have to do is hear the divine words of Yahweh. In the book of Proverbs 13 chapter, it says in the 10th verse, only, which means exclusively, by itself, You don't even need to be searching out why there's so much contention. It says only by pride comes contention. That's the reason why things are tense, because there's a bunch of pride. But with well advised is wisdom. And what is the well advised? It's only one thing the well advised will advise you, and that is humble yourself. Get low. Don't get caught up in other things because your heart tells you to. Forsake your heart. Forsake your ways. Forsake your thoughts. And fear Yahweh and depart from evil. Pride do this to you. Watch this in the book of Proverbs, the 11th chapter. Because we're talking about, we're discussing Yehuda's impact. Little do people know, Yehuda is scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. So when Yahweh returned for Yehuda, he's also returning to bring the world down, to bring them low for their evil, for their wickedness. But there is a remnant that Yahweh is determined to mark, to spare, to have mercy on. And who are they? They are those who cry and sigh for their abomination. Whereas everyone else is participating in the abominations. In the book of Proverbs, the 11th chapter, verse 1 and 2. It says a false balance is an abomination to Yahweh. But just weight is his delight. Regardless of someone else's balance, someone else's falseness, is an abomination. Make sure your weight is just. Make sure your weight is his delight. Because you can't control no one else. And this is why the second verse. When pride comes, then comes shame. And my goodness, how long do we have to act a fool and show ourselves to be a fool? But with the lowly is wisdom. And why don't we want to get low? Because with the lowly is wisdom. It's only one reason a people don't want to be lowly. One reason and one reason only is because they are a fool. Foolish people don't want to be lowly. Only wise people, wisdom, teach you to be lowly. And all the contention is just pride. is arrogant and is haughtiness. But you're going to find a reason to be a fool. You're not going to find a reason to be low. Not realizing that Yahweh is marking as we speak. The inkhorn is going out now. And how do we know that? Because we're in the last days. And Yahweh is returning. In the book of Proverbs 14, watch what it says. Start at the very first verse. Every wise woman builds her house. This is a sign of a wise woman. She's constantly building. She must be wise. Look at her. She's building. It's growing. It's developing. It's prospering. But the foolish plucks it down with her hands. And what is that a sign of? A tearing down. I don't care how it got tore down. The sign is foolishness when a house is torn down, but not with a wise woman. It is constantly built. He that walks in his uprightness fears Yahweh, but he that is perverse in his ways despises himself. And what is some, who is the perverse? Those who's full of abominations in their heart. And how do you know these abominations exist? Watch the third verse. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. You tell them nothing. They don't want to hear nothing. They think they know it all. They think they got it right. But really, they got it all wrong. But the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Yahweh trying to show us. He's trying to help us to make the right choice. And we can. It's for us to choose. Yahweh is not making us choose evil. Yahweh is not making us to choose good. Yahweh is just trying to inspire us to make the right choice. And it's up to you, brothers and sisters, whether you are old or young, maid or little children, whether you are prince, elder, priest, it's up to you. Last scripture. Proverbs 8. The first verse. Does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She stands in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the past. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O you simple, understand wisdom. You fools, be you of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. And watch what it says now. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. Watch what it is. They are all plain to him that understands, and write to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell in prudence, with prudence, and find out the knowledge of witty inventions. And this is where we close. The fear of Yahweh is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way. The forward mouth do I hate. So it's up to you, brothers and sisters. The Almighty said, gather yourselves together. Yea, gather yourselves together, O nation, not desire. Before the decree bring forth. Before the chaff drives away with the wind. Before the fierce anger of Yah come upon you, before Yahweh's anger come upon you. We are that nation not desired. Yahweh says, seek righteousness, seek meekness, that you may be hid in the day of Yahweh's anger. It's up to you whether you want to be saved or not. Get these abominations far from you. Fear Yah. And keep his commandments. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Please hear, O Israel, this is a song of the sinner. Cleanse me from iniquity, and please wash me from my sins, O Yah. Have mercy on my soul. I pray that you take away this emptiness in my bones. Only to you, O Yah. zero is real. This is a song for the sinner. Cleanse me from iniquity and please wash me from my sins. Oh, Yah, have mercy on my soul. I pray that you take away this emptiness in my bones. Only to you, oh, Yah, we don't. And keep all your laws. And I say, we don't deserve you, but we're going to serve you and keep all your laws. Only to you, oh, Yah.